proposition. If you never do anything to anyone else, you spare the tragedy of human relationships. And quietly, and like another time, there is the passage of an unexpected thing. To look at it is more than it was. God knows nothing is competent, nothing is all there is. The unsure egoist is not good for himself. The dishonest mailman. They are taking all my letters, and they put them into a fire. I see the flames, etc., but do not care, etc. They burn everything I have, or what little I have. I don't care, etc. The poem supreme, addressed to emptiness. This is the courage necessary. This is something quite different.
And that's Robert Creeley reading at Black Mountain College in 1954. Welcome to Wordplay. I'm Jeff Davis, your host today. And we have a special Father's Day edition, I guess you could say, of Wordplay today. I'm going to honor a man who was one of the preeminent poets of the 20th century and one of the faculty at Black Mountain College, and personally a teacher of mine, a man whose work I enjoyed. When Creeley was reading, I would drive I'd drive hundreds of miles to hear him and to record what he had to say. I've still got those recordings on tape, and one day I'll bring them in. But today we're going to listen to some recordings made by others and available on the wonderful internet at Penn Sound. Let's get back to Robert Creeley.
The whip. I spent a night tuning in bed. My love was a feather, a flat, sleeping thing. She was very white and quiet. And above us on the roof, there was another woman I also loved, had to dress myself to in a fit. She returned. That encompasses it. But now I was lonely. I yelled. But what is that? Hug, she said beside me. She put her hand on my back, for which act, I think to say this, wrongly.
One otherwise. I know a man. As I said to my friend, because I am always talking, John, I said, which was not his name, the darkness surrounds us. What can we do against it, or else shall we? And why not buy a goddamn big car? Drive, he said, for Christ's sake, look out where you're going. Which is last of that order. Or this. This is one last of these. The immoral proposition. If you never do anything for anyone else, you are spared the tragedy of human relationships. If quietly and like another time, there is the passage of an unexpected thing. To look at it is more than it was. God knows nothing is competent. Nothing is all there is. The unsure egoist is not good for himself. The dishonest mailmen. They are taking all my letters and they put them into a fire. I see the flames, etc., but do not care, etc. They burn everything I have, or what little I have, I don't care, etc. The poem supreme, addressed to emptiness, this is the courage necessary. This is something quite different. I realized I had poems addressed to they, or rather qualifying they. I think there was me, and then there was they, and that this dichotomy stays pretty absolute until I think I was almost, say within the last 5 years it's relaxed a little bit, but they are taking all my letters and they put them into a fire, etc. I used to hide in the brush beside the mailbox in the place we lived in New Hampshire, because I really was suspicious that the mailman wouldn't really. He seemed to be an extraordinarily honest man, but he couldn't convince him.
Ballad of the Despairing Husband. My wife and I lived all alone. Contention was our only bone. I fought with her, she fought with me, and things went on right merrily. But now I live here by myself, with hardly a damn thing on the shelf, and pass my days with little cheer, since I have parted from my dear. Oh, come home soon, I write to her. Go fuck yourself, is her answer. Now what is that for Christian word? I hope she feeds on dried goose turd. But I still love her, yes I do. I love her and the children too. I only think it fit that she should quickly come right back to me. Ah, no, she says, and she is tough, and smacks me down with her rebuff. Ah, no, she says, I will not come after the bloody things you've done. Oh, wife, I tell you true, I never loved no one but you. I never will. It cannot be another woman is for me. That may be right, she will say then, but as for me, there's other men, and I will tell you I propose to catch them firmly by the nose, and I will wear what dresses I choose, and I will dance in what's to lose. I'm free of you, you little prick, and I'm the one to make it stick. Was this the darling I did love? Was this that mercy from above? Did open violets in the spring and made my own worn self to sing? She was, I know, and she is still. And if I love her, then so I will. And I will tell her and tell her right. Oh, lovely lady, morning or evening or afternoon. Oh, lovely lady, eating with or without a spoon. O most lovely lady, whether dressed or undressed or partly, O most lovely lady, getting up or going to bed or sitting only, O loveliest of ladies, than whom none is more fair, more gracious, more beautiful, O loveliest of ladies, whether you are just or unjust, merciful, indifferent, or cruel, O most loveliest of ladies, doing whatever, seeing whatever, being whatever, O most loveliest of ladies, in rain, in shine, in any weather, O lady, grant me time, please, to finish my rhyme.
For Love, a collection published some years ago, has in that way a diversity of poems written from that time, sometimes of confusion and emotional question. Poems happily moving into a, not merely a more secure reality, but into a reality in which I felt deeply more comfortable, more actual, more there.
The finger, either in or out of.
Reading from the poems he later published in 1962 in the book For Love, which really established him in the world of verse as one of the major voices of his time. He's probably still best known for that book, but and for that reason, we're going to actually spend more time today with his later work, including the poems that were published as pieces in 1968. And then later still. So let's go to pieces.
The finger. So either in or out of the mind, the conception overrides it so that that time I was a stranger, bearded with clothes that were old and torn. I was told, it was known to me, my fate would be timeless. Again and again, I was to get it right, the story I myself knew only the way of. But the purpose, if it had been, was not mine. The quiet chatter of the light.
The image folded into endlessly opening patterns. Had they faced me into the light so that my eye was blinded? At moments I knew they had gone, but searched for her face, the pureness of its beauty, the endlessly sensual. But no senses that now reports it. Rather, she was beauty, that Aphrodite I had known of. And caught sight of as maid, a girlish openness unknown as a woman turned from the light. I knew, however, the other, perhaps even more. She was there in the room's corner, as she would be, bent by a wind, it seemed, would never stop blowing, braced like a seabird, with those endlessly clear gray eyes. Name her, Athena, what name? The osprey, the sea, the waves. To go on telling the story, to go on, though no one hears it, to the end of my days. Mercury, Hermes, in dark glasses, talk to him, as if one talked to the telephone, telling it to please listen. Is that right? Have I said it? And the reflecting face echoes some cast of words in mind's eye, attention, a whiff of surmise. And the power to tell his glory, one unto one unto one, and though all mistake it, it is one. I saw the stones thrown at her. I felt a radiance transform my hands and my face. I blessed her. I was one. Are there other times? Is she that woman? Is she that woman? Is there someone you can specify? Or this one? Am I the man? Was this the power that I thought I had? And what transforms? It was incredible. I remember, not heavily, can't quite report to you what consciousness I was truly in, but I had this incredible situation where there was actually a physical, like, I don't know where you've been, I've been, we've been, it certainly has been together, but we've all been here, we're people, we stand about this high, and if we measure against the wall, we won't go that high or lower, you know. We seem to have the same experience of ourselves and our bodies, and that's all I'm talking about today. And I felt that this, I saw the stones thrown at her. I suddenly saw this incredible innocence of person in the initiation of its own experience. Like, not moving out into a rectitude of attitude or righteousness, but just suddenly the stones thrown at her. I suddenly witnessed that whole, like, if you be without sin among you, but sin too is not true. I saw the stones thrown at her. I felt the radiance transform my hands and my face. Suddenly I was possessed of the power. I blessed her. I mean, I truly blessed her. I was one. I didn't excuse her. I didn't say, like, come out of the stones. I stood among the stones with her, and the stones went along the stone. And are there other times? Do you think it gets better than that? You know? Is she that woman or this one? Could you make a decision upon the experience of that? Am I the man? Do I think I have that ego center? And what transforms? What all did this? Sit by the fire. I'll dance a jig, I learned, if we have any music. I mean, you know, I'll dance a jig, I learned, long before we were born, for you and you only then. Like, I can't think of anybody else I'd truly like to dance with. I cut my finger tonight. Sit by the fire, I'll dance a jig, I learned, long before we were born, for you and you only then. I was not to go as if to somewhere, like I wasn't being sent to the store by my mother. Like, I didn't have anything I thought I should do. I was not to go as if to somewhere. It was not in the mind, as thinking knows it, but danced in the jigging, intensive circle before the fire and its heat, and that woman lounging. How had she turned herself? She was largely warm, flesh heavy, and smiled in some deepening knowledge. Like suddenly this whole experience of this person, how had she turned herself? What, how had she done that? I mean, what did she do? Like, she was largely one. She was this great, incredible, big presence of physical flesh. Warm, flesh heavy, the whole flesh was heavy upon, and smiled and some deepening knowledge. I don't want to comment on this poem for, there are charms. This is the Mike McClure section. There are charms, the peddler, and the peddler, and the small dog, following, and the whistled insistence on. There are charms, the peddler and the small dog following the whistled insistent song. I had the pack, the tattered clothing was neither a man nor not one. All that, and who was she? With the fire behind her and the mess of that place, the dust, the scattered pieces, her skin so warm, so massive, so stolid in her smiling, the charm did not move her, but rather kept her half sleepy attention, yawning, indulging the manny, who jiggled the world before her, made of his mind. She was young. She was old. She was small. She was tall with extraordinary grace. Her face was all distance, her eyes the depth of all one had thought of, again and again and again. To approach, to hold her was not possible. She laughed and turned, and the heavy folds of cloth parted, the nakedness burned. Her heavy breath, her ugliness, her lust, but her laughing, her low, chuckling laugh, the way she moved her hand to the naked breast, then to her belly, her hand with its fingers, then shone. And whatever is said in the world, forgotten, and not said makes it one. I love it. Then shown, and whatever is said in the world, or forgotten, or not said, makes a form. The choice is simply, I will. That turns out to be it. As mind is a finger pointing, as wonder, a place to be. Listen to me. Let me touch you. There, you are young again, and you are looking at me. Was there ever such foolishness more? Was there ever such foolishness more than what thinks it knows and cannot see? Was there ever more? Was there ever such foolishness more than what thinks it knows and cannot see? Was there ever more? Was the truth behind us or before? Was it one or two? And who was I? She was laughing. She was laughing at me, and I danced. Lovely, lovely woman, let me sing one to one to one, and let me follow. And this is the last poem called, quote, Follow the Drinking Gourd. You know this folk song?
Yes.
Okay. Follow the drinking gourd. Present again, present, present again, present, present again, present again, present, present again, present, present again. Leaves falling, knives, a windspout of nostalgic faces into the air. Car glides forward. Drive from Bloomington, Indiana to Lexington, KY. Hear the walls, the fall, the stone. The hill, the trucks in front with the unseen drivers. Stony lonesome, gnaw bone, a house sits back from the road. A Christmas present, all present and accounted for. Sir, passage of time. The sun shone level from the left-hand side of the land, the flat seeming distance, left, east, south, sun shines. Go on, tell me, them, him, her, there, apparent forms, the present vented, call it long distance, come here home. Then, this is a very abstract poem, this poem. Come here home, then a scarecrow, there, here a snowman. Where in the world then an other place, drive on what seems an exceptionally smooth and even surface. The forward cars way up there glint in that sun of a universe of mine. And for $28, all this, all in the mind, in time, in place, what it costs to rent agency, give me a present, your hand to help me understand this. So far, so long, so anywhere, a place if not this one, driving, screaming, a lovely song perhaps, or a cigar smoke. When they were young in Kentucky, a man to freedom took them in a cave. A famous song to drive to, sing along the passing way, or done, or right, or wrong, or wander on. Well, I got it together in that one. Thank you.
Seems to me in pieces, Creeley kind of deconstructed the traditional American poem as it existed up until that point. It's writing at a very different level, a different level of abstraction, and just got some wonderful stuff in it. It also took Creeley in the direction of the suite of poems, or the serial poem that Jack Spicer had pioneered out on the West Coast in San Francisco. And in his later work, he explored the longer form even more extensively. So we're going to hear now some of the later work, the Histoire de Florida, Where Late the Sweet Bird Sang, Aunt Femia, Wild Nights, and Myself.
Thanks, Terrence. It's like more of the same. This is effectually a day book or just daily writing. In Florida, turn of the year, it's a sequence in that sense. The general title, Histoire de, and that should be Floride, but I like the rhyme, Histoire de Florida. You're there, still behind the mirror, brother face. Only yesterday you were younger, now you look old. Come out while there's still time left to play. Waking, think of sun through compacted tree branches, the dense, persistent light. Think of heaven, home, a heart of gold, old song of friends, dear love, and all the faint world it reaches to, it wants. Out over that piece of water where the sound is, the place it loops round on the map from the frontal ocean and makes a spit of land this sits on, here, flat, filled with a patent detritus left from times previous, whatever else was here before become now brushy conclave thick with hidden birds, nimble small lizards. Whatever, whatever. Whatever, whenever, it won't be here anymore. what one supposes dead is, but what a simple ending. Pain, fear, unendurable wrench division, breakdown of presumed function, trucks broken, down again, no one left to think of it, fix it, walk on. Will one fly away on angel wings, rise like a feather lift in the thin air? But again returned, preoccupied, he counts his life like cash in emptying pockets. Somebody better help him. Remember German artist, surely conceptual or happenings, ate himself, cut bits from his body on stage while audience watched. It went well for a while, but then he did something wrong and bled to death. The art is long to learn, life short. It must be anecdotal, sudden sights along the so-called way. Bunting's advice that David Jones, when he first met him, had moved but once in adult life, and then only when the building burned down to a place across the street. They were having tea when abruptly Jones got up, went to an easel at the far end of the room where on a sheet of drawing paper with, in his immaculate script, a T, added an H to say, I'll have the E by Monday. Affections flood me. Love lights light in like eyes. Your two eyes will me suddenly slay. Such echoes of heaven on earth, in mind as if such a glass through which seen darkly such reflected truth. What words then, if you love me, what beauty not to be sustained will separate finally dancer from dance. Sun meantime shining, just now a yellow slid oblong patch light from wide window. But don't get physical with me, Topper, or the Cheshire cat whose head could appear grinning in the tree, could appear in the window, could see in the dark. You still think death is a subject or a place in time, like halving the distance, the arrow that never gets there. I died and came back again to the very spot I'd seemingly left from in a Raj-like hotel, Calcutta, 1944. From lunch of prawns, got up and went to my room. An hour later, dimly recall, was on hands and knees, crawling to quantum toilet to vomit and shit, then must have collapsed completely en route back to the bed, and a long time later heard voice, hotel doctors, they told me, saying, must get him to hospital, he can't die here. But I'd gone away down long, faint space of path, or up, or simply out, was moving away into a reassuring distance of somewhere. Heaven? I don't think so. My temperature was 96, etc. Delir, whatever, wherever, had come to, gone to, I wasn't there. Leary at Naropa for celebration of Kerouac, I remember saying, it's dumb to die, it's for squares. Gregory thought it a dumb thing to say to the young. Was it metaphysical? Did he mean something else, whether with drugs or not, be rid of such terminal dependence? As if, and why not, closure were just fact of a clogged pipe, all coming to naught, get it out, open up. But the syntax would be what precedes and what follows in Pound's phrase, like a river, the emptying sounds of paradise. In pajamas still, late morning sun's at my back, again through the window, figuring mind still, figuring place I am in, which is me, solipsistic, a loop yet moving. With these insistent proposals of who, where, when, what's out there, what's in, what's the so-called art of anything, hat, house, hand, head, heart, and so on, quickly banal, always reflections, no light on the water, no clouds lifting, birds flap taking off. Put the food in mouth, feel throat swallowing, warmth is enough. Emotions recollected in tranquility, which is what? Feelings now are not quiet, daughters threatened, kidneys, sisters metal, knee replacement, sons vulnerable, neighborhood friendships, Penelope's social, suitors whom I envy, envy. Age, age, locked in my mind, my body, toes broken, skin wrinkling up, look to the ceiling, where through portals of skylight, two rectangular glass boxes in the stained wood, the yellow light comes, and outside is evident. There is no irony, no patience. There is nothing to wait for that isn't here, and it will happen. Happiness is thus lucky, not I, but the wind that blows through me. Another day, drove to beach, parked the car on the edge of the road, and walked up on the wooden ramp provided, then stopped just before the steps down to the sand, and looked out at the long edge of the surf, the sun glitter, the backdrop of various condominiums and cottages, the usual collective of people, cars, dogs, and birds. It was sweet to see company, and I was included. Yet Crusoe, whose mind was that? Defoe's? Like Kafka's America, or Tom Jones' Come to London, or Rousseau, or Odysseus. One practices survival, much as we did when kids would head for the woods with whatever we could pilfer or elders gave us, donuts, cookies, bread. Even in one's own terror, one is proud of a securing skill. But what so turned things to pain? And if Mandelstam's poem is found scratched on cell wall in the gulag by anonymous hand, and that's all of either we know, why isn't that instance of the same side of world Robinson Crusoe comes to, footprint on sand, a terror, person finally discovered, an adversary he calls Friday, who then he learns to be good. But I wouldn't, I can't now know or resolve when it all became so singular, when first that other door closed and the beach and the sunlight faded, surf sounds grew faint and one's thoughts took over, bringing one home. At a dinner in Kuala Lumpur, where I was the guest, together with a sewerage expert, had most recently worked in Saudi Arabia, where drainage was the problem, and here it was the same. We talked of conveniences, shopping malls, suburbs, and what had been hauled over from stateside habit, the bars and people, while just down the street was what the Kuala Lumpurians called the backside of hell, a short alley of small doorways and open stalls. They said here anything was possible. Meantime, in our hotel lobby, they had dyed some chicks a weird bluish pink and put them in a little cage out front for Easter. It's always one world, if you can get there. Histoire de Florida. Old persons swinging their canted metal detectors. Beaches either end out of sight beyond the cement block high rises. Occasional cars drifting by in the lanes provided, sheer banks of the dunes bulk-headed by bulldozers. There, a few cars backed up, parked. People walk by or stretch out on cots, turning in the sun's heat, tanning. The line of the surf at some distance, small, the white edge of breakers where the surfers cluster. On the far horizon east is bulk of a freighter, to the north tower of a lighthouse across the inlet. Back of it all the town sells the early tourists, the stores filling with elderly consumers. The old are gathering for an old-time ritual. One knows that in the waters hereabouts, in a particular spring, Ponce de Leon staggered in so as to live forever, but poisoned with infection from a local's arrow and conned by the legend of eternal youth. He had led all his people into a bloody cul-de-sac and ended himself being fed to alligators, ate him skin and bones, leaving no trace. So it may be we all now look for where the first of these old folks went down, seeing his own face in the placid creek, hearing the far-off murmur of the surf, feeling his body open in the dark, the warmth of the air, the odor of the flowers, the eternal maiden waiting soft in her bower. This is the lovely time of late afternoon when the sun comes in through slatted blinds. The large glass panes show streaks in the dust, bushy laurels, green leaves turn golden beyond. I hear plane pass over high in the sky, see flowers in vase tremble with table's movement. Companies become rooms' quiet hum. This hanging silence fills with sound. Determined reading keeps the mind's attention off other things, fills the hole in symbolic stocking now that Xmas approaches. A truck through proverbial night, the buzzes, roars of silence. I hear here, all alone. Poor wee Robbie. Flickering light in small window, meager head and heart and hand. I recall William Bartram, somewhere in 18th century Florida, on night not unlike this one, after he had hauled his skiff up on shore, then laid down, so he wrote, to sleep, when sudden uproar, thumpings, bangings, poundings, all seeming very close, awakened him to possibility he was going to die. But stalwart checked it out to find an alligator had clambered up and over the gunwales of his boat to get dead fish Bartram had left inside, and all was finally well. He drew great pictures of the natives, looking like quaint 18th century English persons in beguiling states of undress. He had a heart I wish I had. My car is parked in the driveway. My door is locked. I do not want to go outside. What was resistance? How come to this? Wasn't body's package obvious limit? Could I fly? Could I settle? Could I even be I? And for what want, watching man die on TV in Holland, wife sitting by? She said he's going off alone for the first time in our lives. He told her to the stars, to the Milky Way, relaxed and was gone. What is Florida to me, or me to Florida, except so defined? You've left a lot out. Being in doubt, you left it out. Your mother, Aunt Bernice in Nokomis, to the west and south, in Trailer Park, dead now for years, as one says, you've left them out. David, your son, your friend, John, you've left them out. You thought you were writing about what you felt. You've left it out. Your love, your life, your home, your wife, you've left her out. No one is one. No one's alone. No world's that small. No life. You left it out. The shell was the apparent inclusion that another might be here, form the provision, what one took or didn't from another. What form did it take? What way did it matter? My mind was a supermarket or a fading neighborhood store. I couldn't find anything anymore, or just didn't have it. I is another, and another, another. Blocks fading, streets fading into an emptying distance. Who tore it down? Where was it? What was it? Where do you think you left it? My mother in Nokomis, Aunt Bernice in Nokomis, David in Sarasota, Mary Ann, Cecilia, Rebecca in Sarasota, John in Sarasota or Long Island, Penn, Will, and Hannah, Helen in Buffalo. How use them simply as low-key points of reference who made me substance? Sarah calls to say she is pregnant, and that is a delicious sound, like the music Caliban hears sometimes in Prospero's cell surrounding him. Rise into the air and look down and see it there, the pendant form of it, the way it goes out alone into an ocean, the end of a pattern suddenly extended to cover in itself the western reach, the gulf close beyond. Its fragile surfaces are watery, swamps to the south, to the north where its population gathers in flat cities, sandy wastes, oaks, palmetto, laurel, pine, and, for me, an unidentified particularity more seen, felt, than known. Perhaps the whole place is a giant peer out into nothing, or into all that is other, all else. Miles and miles of space are here in unexpected senses, sky washed with clouds, changing light, long sunsets sinking across water and land, air that freshens, intimate, endless things growing, all horizontal, an edge, a rise only of feet above the sea's surface, or the lakes, the ponds, the rivers, all out, nothing that isn't vulnerable, no depths, no rooted senses, other than the actual fabric of roots, skin of survivals. I placed a jar in Tennessee. In Florida, I placed a jar. And round it was, upon a hill, and all around it grew important air. And tall and of a port in air, it was my first time there. It took dominion everywhere, and I was far from home and scared. The jar was gray and bare. In Florida, like nothing else, in Tennessee. In Florida, like nothing else.
We're talking about Donald Hall, and he had his 70th birthday not all that long ago, about a year, and he and I had been so we didn't really know each other very well as young persons in college, but I do remember when he came in, he was given the responsibility of reopening the Harvard Advocate, which friends and myself had closed decisively, or caused to be closed. So that was reason enough to be critical. But in any case, he followed distinctly Eliot, and I followed distinctly Williams. And I remember there was an article he wrote in the, what was it called? Not The World. It was an English journal, sort of like a Harper's style magazine. And he wrote a substantial article on American poetry since the war, Second World War, in which, among other things, he says that Williams, he feels, is only not a digression, uses like a dead end road, and he has few followers, as you know, me and Olson being it. So I wrote a fierce letter in opposition, which the magazine comfortably printed, which was terrific. And we didn't really meet until some real time later, meet again, when he was still teaching at the University of Michigan. And we spent a glorious couple of days together and became very, very good friends indeed. And I don't know how many of you would realize it, but it's really thanks to Donald Hall that, say, Clark Coolidge has his first book at Harper's, that Dick Gallup has his first book at Harper's when Donald Hall is advising them, that he's been a very supportive, not simply an ally, but he's been far beyond any imaginable context of usual connections. He's been very, very good news, and very, very generous, really. He's also, it's always fascinating when someone's managed to survive as poet particularly. And when he stops teaching and then really depends on his own abilities, to do articles and literary works of various kind. But he's kept the faith, I think, certainly interestingly. And his own later poems I have respect for. They're sort of elegiac, historicizing and memorializing. It's interesting to me. And so this was for his poem. It's kind of an awfully grim poem, but hey, it's a friend. He won't mind. I'm older than he is, too, so it's... Where Late the Sweet Bird Sang. It's a stolen title. Where Late the Sweet Bird Sang. Blunted efforts as the distance becomes insistent. A divided time between now and then, between oneself and old friend. Because what I'd thought age was a lessening, a fading reach to something not clearly seen, but there still in memory. No one thought it could be fun, but well begun is half done, half gone, then it's all gone, all of it over. Now no one seems there anymore. Each day, which had been a pleasure, becomes a fear someone else is dead, someone knocking at the door. Born very young into a world already very old. Always the same story, and I was told, so now it's for me. En famille. I wandered lonely as a cloud. I'd seemingly lost the crowd I'd come with, family, father, mother, sister and brothers, fact of a common blood. Now there was no one, just my face in the mirror, coat on a single hook, a bed I could make getting out of. Where had they gone? What was that vague determination, cut off the nurturing relation with all the density, this given company? What made one feel such desperation to get away, get far from home, be gone from those would know us even if they only saw our noses or our toes, accept with joy our helpless mess, taking for granted it was part of us? My friends, hands on each other's shoulders, holding on, keeping the pledge, to be for one, for all, a securing center, no matter up or down or right or left. To keep the faith, keep happy, keep together, keep at it, so keep on, despite the fact of necessary drift. Home might be still the happiest place on earth. You won't get far by yourself. It's dark out there. There's a long way to go. The dog knows. It's him loves us most, or seems to, in dark nights of the soul. Keep a tight hold, steady. We're not lost. Despite the sad vagaries, anchored in love, placed in the circle, young and old, around, love's fact of this bond. One day one will look back and think of them, where they were, now gone. Remember it all. Turning inside as if in dream, the twisting face I want to be my own. The people loved and with me still, I see their painful faith. Grow, dears, then fly away. But when the dark comes, then come home. Lights in the window, heart stays true. Call, and I'll come to you. The wind blows through the shifting trees, outside the window, over the fields below, emblems of growth, of older, younger, of towering size are all the vulnerable hope, as echoes in the image of these three, look out with such reflective pleasure, so various and close. They stand there, waiting to hear a music they will know. I like the way you both look out at me. Somehow it's sometimes hard to be a human. Arms and legs get often in the way, making oneself a bulky, awkward burden. Tell me your happiness is simply true. Tell me I can still learn to be like you. Tell me the truth is what we do. Tell me that care for one another is the clue. We're here because there's nowhere else to go. We've come in faith, we learned as with all else. Someone once told us, and so it is we know. No one is left outside such simple place. No one's too late, no one can be too soon. We comfort one another, making room. We dream of heaven as a climbing stair. We look at stars and wonder why and where. Have we told you all you'd thought to know? Is it really so quickly now the time to go? Has anything happened you will not forget? Is where you are enough for all to share? Is wisdom just an empty word? Is age a time one might finally well have missed? Must humanness be its own reward? Is happiness this? Wild nights, it seemed your friend had finally others to attend. My time was yours alone to spend. I leaned against the fence and waited. Our love, I felt, was unequivocally fated. To go sans word would leave all still unstated. Hence scurrying hopes and pledge at last. Now here, with all the fading years between, I wonder where time ever was before we walked in those towering woods beneath the ample clouds, bathed in that wondrous air.
When Penelope and I were first happily together, and we'd got use of a friend's place in about 50 miles north of Barcelona on the coast, Sant Feliu de Guíxols. It was in the wrong season, as they say. I remember the local persons kept saying, you shouldn't be here, it's too soon, go away. And we were the only, quote, unlocal persons in town. But I loved that whole part of the world, and it was just after the death of Franco, and the whole place was going ape with a sense of release and freedom. And I thought of the echoes always of the Mediterranean is such an incredible place. And this poem was titled Myself, and I was really echoing a poem of Shelley's Epipsychidion, which I translated loosely as, quote, myself. What younger felt was possible, now knows is not, but still not changed enough. Walked by the sea, unchanged in memory, evening as clouds on the far-off rim of water float, pictures of time, smoke, faintness, still the dream. I want, if older, still to know why human men and women are so torn, so lost, why hopes cannot find better world than this. Shelley is dead and gone, who said, taught them not this, to know themselves. Their might could not repress the mutiny within, and for the morn of truth they feigned, deep night caught them ere evening.
That was Robert Creeley reading at his home in Waldoboro, Maine, in the year 2000. Thanks for tuning in today. You've been listening to Wordplay on WPBM 103.5. I'm your host, Jeff Davis, and we'll be back next week. For more information on the show today, you can check naturespoetry.blogspot.com, where I often have production notes. We'll probably talk about the music and the actual venues for the poems that we heard today. Have a great week.